You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Folks, Mother's Day is around the corner, and let me talk to you about 1-800-Flowers. I can't wait. Every year, it's a tradition. I send stuff to my mother, my mother-in-law, and my wife because they are three amazing moms. They're better than all your moms out there. You think you have good moms? No, I have good moms in my life. I'm just kidding. This was a little harsh. I'm sure you guys all have good moms too. From your mom to the mother of your children and all the moms in between, this Mother's Day, give back to the ones that have given you everything. 1-800-Flowers helps you celebrate all amazing moms, from homemade bouquets, sweet treats, gourmet food, and one-of-a-kind gifts, ordered easily and delivered fresh. For a limited time, you can save up to 40% off Mother's Day bestsellers at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan. Don't wait. Order today and save up to 40% at 1-800-Flowers.com/Dan.
Now's a good time to remember where the story of tequila started. In 1795, the first tequila distillery was opened by the Cuervo family. And 229 years later, Cuervo is still going strong. Family-owned from the start, same family, same land. Now's a good time to enjoy Cuervo, the tequila that invented tequila. Go to Cuervo.com to shop tequila or visit a store near you. Cuervo, now's a good time.
Trademarks owned by Becle, SAB the CV. Copyright 2024, Proximo. Jersey City, New Jersey. Please drink responsibly.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings. Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Billy, I don't know in your history with the show how many moments, like I would love if you would over the weekend, just your own personal top five on your favorite anarchy moments. But you, hold on.
I don't know if this hold is being on. Presented okay. properly.
I haven't presented anything yet, Billy. Nothing's been presented.
I object.
You object to what you did in the last segment, which is, this is so good because you've had to do some of these pods where we have to do translations of Spanish to English, and you've recognized the differences in the language that make it so that somebody says 1,000 words to say 7 things in English. Yeah. And so he said all those words, and really the translation is something is here. That's his reporting, is something is here.
It's not
and,
what I heard.
And he was so careful about it that he went to Spanish because he wasn't comfortable answering my question in English about what's your opinion here. He had to go to Spanish to do it. And so I, in that moment of pressure, you know what it costs to translate these word for words. I'm writing things down. I'm writing what the man said down because I know you sure as shit weren't going to translate.
I was taking mental notes. Yeah.
Right. You sure as shit weren't going
to
translate. Trying to tell the audience.
Pitch in.
Do you realize the moment we just had is I'm asking a person to explain, what is this scandal? What is your opinion? The answer comes in Spanish. He has unspooled the answer to the mystery. I then have to translate it, and you do that to our conversation.
Yeah. Mine was more fun. That's what I would do as a translator, I think. I think I'd have maximum fun, which really, I would say the translator...
Is that what he was doing?
Well, the translator here, obviously something's going on, and he hasn't, you know... If he was a great translator, he'd keep this away from absolutely everyone, right? And he'd be handling this situation on his own, like, up until the court date, where, like, Shohei's there, and Shohei's like, where are we going? He's like, nah, we're just going to go do this thing. And then, like, he'll be translating, and then the people, like, trying to prosecute Shohei or whatever will be like, what does he have to say? And Shohei's just learning about this all as it's happening, because he kept it away from him, as a good translator would, right, and a good friend would. And then Shohei would be like, I'd like to declare my innocence, and then the translator would say, he says that he's guilty. And then they take Shohei away, and then the translator gets
off. So wacky translator. Yeah. Okay, yes, that's what you think of with that job.
And, I think that, I mean, if look, if
saying
this guy,
ridiculous things,
yeah, no,
this guy wants
job,
to clear
no,
his I've, name. I've He's known, the one that's in look, charge of the communication look, back and
I know,
forth. He can control the conversation.
Other people that
He's
speak
let
Japanese.
This get away from him.
No, when I think
not of, someone that's as trusted by Shohei as him, apparently.
He's not the only one that knows the answers.
When I think of Ichiro bringing this culture and baseball to America, I think of wacky. I think wacky translators. I think those positions, those tend to be pretty scared jobs, honest to God. Like when, forgive me here, because I'd actually like to talk to some baseball people about what this world is around Ohtani, because it's going to be hard to explain. Baseball, going back to Ichiro, what Ichiro is in Japan, I don't think I can explain it to you, but he is the biggest of cultural icons, okay? The first, a giant star, LeBron James on steroids, the best among us, always representing us well, always very careful about how he represents, always tied to many, many of our sponsors on how we represent to the rest of the world our people, how we take baseball to the globe, how we can play with the Americans in their sport. Ichiro was the first. Then here comes this guy, twice his physical size, and he pitches, and he's Babe Ruth. And oh my God, he's more of an athlete than all of America's athletes. He faces Mike Trout as a pitcher and strikes him out like in an all-star game because he can do everything. I'm telling you, if this was happening, if this was an American story, this player, he'd be the biggest thing we've ever known. He'd bring baseball back, this person playing in this market as an American with Jazz Chisholm's personality or with just representing something other than what Ohtani represents, which is the giant business of Japan. Japan has gone into business with Los Angeles Dodgers Incorporated to make American television. And they're going to conquer baseball, the Dodgers are, and they're going to buy all the players.
Well, and they get to the playoffs and they'll right, then, vomit then all over Atlanta themselves because that's exactly yes. what happens with the Dodgers. But that's a story for another day.
But we've made fun of this. The things that have happened in Anaheim with the Angels, we've made fun of this team that stardom goes to die there. How can this person not be a giant international sports star in our country that feels just like LeBron James? Not smaller than because it's baseball. Like, you guys know what you tried to do with Aaron Judge. This is Aaron Judge and he pitches. Like, if this dude was an American personality, he'd be the most giant thing our sports landscape had seen. Somebody conquering America's sport this way. From another country, he comes here and does this. And scandal, when it gets near your sponsorships, is like the ugliest thing.
So far, it feels like the narrative is that it's not a scandal for Ohtani, though, yet. It seems like the narrative right now is this guy had a problem. We're kind of speculating.
It's
like,
very
is
early.
This a cover-up? That's why I think we all need to state our cases of what we think this early on.
It's too early.
Because we know we're gonna learn eventually what's happening here. Like, gut feeling.
Hi.
Are we thinking that this is an interpreter with a gambling problem? Or is this a cover-up for Ohtani having a gambling problem?
I have winners and losers. If you would like that.
Okay.
Right now,
but not an answer in any way to what Chris just asked you.
Well, you haven't heard my answer for the winners and losers. Initial thoughts. My initial thoughts are winners and losers. That's where I head to because this is sports radio, TV,
Is baseball
podcast.
A winner?
Baseball's a big winner. Baseball's a big winner because of the fact that one of the players who's playing in this game that otherwise no one would be watching is embroiled in an incredible scandal right now. And yesterday, in the dugout, as this was unfolding in real time, he was palling around with his friend who allegedly stole $4.5 million from him. And at the time, he would have known that this happened already when you look at the timeline. So his actions and kind of being caught by a camera crew that didn't know this was going on kind of undoes this story a little bit. Because they were very friendly in what was going on there. And they knew this was happening, but it seems like the Dodgers did not know this was happening because after the game, he then went and told the whole organization, I have a gambling problem, a story is coming out, and they fired him immediately. But Shohei knew what was going on. And if he actually stole $4.5 million from him, he probably would not have been next to him joking around in the bottom of the ninth inning yesterday. Correct?
But then all the stuff that they say in the ESPN investigation or ESPN interview with Masuhara, like, oh, Ohtani was there. He was the one that went on his computer and then sent the money to Bauer or Boyer. Like, is all that stuff true?
Nothing.
But they said, wait, no, none of it's true. It's actually a theft. But are those actual details part of what the story is?
I don't feel like Roy and Jessica are as intrigued by some of what it is that we are enjoying here. I assure you, whenever it is...
I mean, no syndicates here.
Jess privately told me baseball's back.
Wow. Okay. Baseball is super back, but I'm letting Billy cook, Dan.
Okay.
This is his moment.
So forgive me. Yes, it is his moment. David Sampson and Adnan Virk will be here momentarily because this really does have the range to feel, Billy, if you answered the question directly on what you think happened here,
mm-hmm.
this has the range to feel like a big sports scandal or nothing at all.
Yes.
Yes.
You want another winner?
Yes.
Miguel Rojas, big winner. Yesterday, everyone was like, wow, this guy, not a very good baseball player. And Jazz is out here telling everyone, not a good baseball player, not a good team captain. Lo and behold, just a day later, someone on his own new team, massive story that no one's going to be talking about Jazz and Miguel Rojas ever again.
Yeah. Will this come up on your Marlins broadcast tomorrow with Chris?
Ooh. I don't know what we're allowed to talk about. I'm going to have to get
well,
the
you're allowed to talk about the Jazz thing, right?
I think I'm more allowed to talk about Shohei.
I was going
to
say, I'm hoping the Jazz thing doesn't come up tomorrow,
I think they
actually
want me to talk about the other thing instead.
I heard David Sampson on Nothing Personal talking about this earlier, and he brought up the point that one of the only employees that he didn't vet in the hiring process was Ichiro's translator.
Like
that he kind of just like, this is who my translator is, this is what you pay him, and there's no like vetting process. So that's like an interesting little wrinkle in there that that the Dodgers probably didn't vet this guy that much.
Well, one of the things that David Sampson is going to bring some illumination on here, because one of you was telling me today that you were listening to the Big Dog on the way in, which made me happy.
That was me.
And that made me happy to hear, it really did, that all of that was still a thing happening in South Florida. Chris
Odell Beckham's in for a visit today, Dan. Big story down here locally.
It made me happy that you were saying that the Big Dog and South Florida are wondering why we are platforming Sampson. As a lot of people do, and
his producer was. Like, I don't want to, you know, I don't want to say the big
dog. You throwing somebody under the bus here?
No, yeah. I'm just saying. Dan made it seem like the big dog said it. It was on the big dog show.
He wouldn't be the only one who says it.
I am saying that
it made me smile because honestly, I hadn't really heard that in like a couple years of
it comes up in meetings here regularly.
It made me smile, though. I'm, like, driving in the car, and they're like, I can't believe. They didn't mention our show. They weren't like, why is Dan platforming? Thomas. They're just like, I can't believe that guy still has
a
platform.
Well, and so he's going on tour now. He's going on tour. David Sampson coming to a city near you.
The big dog did say, in David's defense, he's like, but he does say some stuff.
Well, and no, but so this is where, and I wish I asked for Pablo, too, because the history of this is fascinating to me. Like, I've seen in my lifetime a wonderful cultural bridge built between these countries and this sport and the economies of these different cultures, and how David Sampson became legitimate friends with Ichiro. And he's going to be able to give you what little access sports stars of this nature actually give you. David Sampson probably knows more about Ichiro than most and doesn't probably know very much, but I'd like to actually find out, because I'm sure Adnan and David Sampson, with some old-timey thinking about how things should be done, they're both kind of, they run older morally. These two guys probably think this is a giant problem, I'm guessing. That this reporting is like the reporting you want least around anything that you're doing in sports.
This is a giant problem. Yeah. Like this, you have your biggest star in the middle of a gambling controversy.
I mean, a lot of people are going to be watching MLB Network today.
The walls have fallen on this. Like gambling, I know there's criminal stuff here, and I know sports has to be careful about this, but of course, this is what you wrought. Like,
You think March Madness is pissed about this today?
Oh,
like, what
my
the
God.
Hell? This is our day.
Oh, we
come
gotta,
noon, we're going to focus
oh,
on
Oh, we
got
to do that.
Yeah,
we have
on,
to
don't
do
be
that.
Crazy.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike. And typically, I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there. I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right. You crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, Visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Don Levitard.
David Sampson. Weirdo. Because he was not the fun substitute teacher who'd wheel out a TV and play a VHS tape of Armageddon in science class. He was the weird one who would eat an egg salad sandwich while clipping his toenails into the trash can and ranting about Ronald Reagan.
Stugatz.
The guy kept talking about how his ass was smooth. Smoother than a newborn's cheek. He wouldn't stop bragging about his bare buttocks to me.
This is the Don Levitard Show with the Stugatz.
These two guys care deeply about the movies. They care deeply about baseball. They have unusual expertise in the story we're talking about this morning. Adnan Virk, you can check out Cinephile. It's been doing great movie coverage for multiple years, 3 years now, as part of the Levitard and Friends Network. And David Sampson, nothing personal, is going on tour, growing his empire. We will tell you more about that in a second. But gentlemen, this story, David, I'll start with you. Tell me what it means, because I can't think of something shaking the sport or sports more at the start of the season than this kind of story reported this way at this time with these participants.
Well, let's talk about the way that this story is being reported, because we're dealing with different time zones where people are getting confused. Did things happen on Tuesday in Korea? Was that Wednesday in New York? Or maybe it's next Friday in California. But when you see Shohei Ohtani, who is the biggest name in baseball, signed the biggest contract in the history of team sports, getting $700 million from the Dodgers, when the team is in Korea playing and the story's about gambling, it's the third rail of stories. So everybody within baseball is trying to stop it, tourniquet it, say we're not investigating, everything's fine. It was a single interpreter theory. One guy did everything. But I think we're just at the tip of the iceberg, and there's going to be a lot of outlets, and I don't know that MLB Network will be one of them, but there will be a lot of outlets who are going to report this story and figure out what really happened with Shohei Ohtani and all of this money lost to illegal gambling.
It's stunning, Dan. I mean, listen, Ipe is one of these guys. He is synonymous with Shohei Ohtani. Everywhere he goes, those two are as thick as thieves. Went to Southern Cal. He's been his lifelong friend. I mean, everything about Ipe is like, oh, he's like almost a mascot with Shohei Ohtani. Just, oh, there's Ipe again. There's Shohei. We can go talk to him and crack a few jokes. To see the story come out, A, that Ipe got fired, I felt terrible for him. Then I see gambling debt. I said, oh, my God. Then I see massive theft alleged, $4.5 million. Stunning. I mean, it just, the story got worse and worse. And I was like, listen, it's not horrible. It's not surprising, by the way, that somebody incurred massive gambling debt. That happens all the time. But as David said, the fact that it's involving Shohei Ohtani, the supernova of the sport, who signed for $700 million, and it's his best friend allegedly that did it, stunning.
Well, one of the things that we really have to focus on here is that when you're meeting the media, the cover-up can often be worse than the crime. And what the interpreter said is that he was not aware of the difference between betting with DraftKings or betting with a bookie. This is not someone who's coming off the turnip truck. He's been in the U.S. for 25 years. Right. He has been here. So he knows when you're with a bookie, it's illegal. And then he said that it all snowballed and no one knew. But then he acknowledges that Ohtani has helped pay for his debts. But then he says Ohtani didn't know anything. So what we have to do is find out, and it's going to involve depositions. It's going to involve oaths. It's going to involve truth telling, because it's too important a story for the sport. What worries me is that it's not going to be covered by. So Adnan, thinking about your job.
Yeah.
MLB Network has got to cover this. ESPN did the game this morning,
right,
and they addressed it off the top. But then they let the game, the 4-hour game, happen where the Padres got the split. and they only made a passing mention to it. And I've been at networks where they say, hey, don't talk badly about the NFL. Don't talk badly about baseball. The MLB Network, that should be the go-to place, and you should be the go-to reporter here.
Yeah, I don't know if it's me specifically. As you know, the host is the one running quarterback. It's not going to be analysts talking about it, but it'll be your John Haymans, your JP Morosis, your Tom Verducci's, all those insiders. I'm sure those guys will be covering the story as extensively as they can. What is Tony holding up, by the way? I saw there was some signage in the middle of me talking.
Yeah. We've got a web right here, which is what I've been kind of just doing from the beginning of the show, just outlining the entire situation of the Ohtani scandal with the web. You've already mentioned I had one of my webs, David Sampson. He didn't know it was illegal. Weird. Why?
Also, liar.
Massive theft. Who? That's the question nobody's asking right now. Yeah. Who?
What is, like, best case scenario here for both of you? Like, what? How do we get out of this okay?
Excellent question, Jess. Lone gunman theory. Blame Ipe for everything. He's a scapegoat. He has a massive gambling problem. It was out of control. That's it. And nothing tied to Ohtani. David?
I think the problem with that, so we have to really talk about the Japanese culture. And it may be a topic that we don't want to discuss on this show or anybody's going to want to discuss. But the relationship between the player and the interpreter, and I had it with Ichiro when he was on the Marlins for all those years with his interpreter. There is a level of respect that the interpreter shows to the player. And there's a level of loyalty that the player shows to the interpreter. When we signed Ichiro, we had to hire his interpreter. It wasn't a negotiation. We were given the salary, given the name, and he became an employee of the Marlins organization. As I mentioned earlier on Nothing Personal, the only employee I ever hired without a background check. Never did one thing. In came Alan, who is an amazing, amazing guy. Is there a scenario where I see the interpreter taking the fall for his player? I do. But in the real world, not in the movies, in the real world, you can't do it that way. When it involves illegal gambling, when the FBI is involved, when the U.S. attorney is involved, Japanese culture and respect, that takes a backseat to finding out the truth. So the worst case scenario for me, Jessica, is that Ohtani is implicated and Rob Manfred has to suspend him. That's the worst case. The best case is that he actually never got involved with any of the money, but I view the best case as impossible because even making 500 grand a year, I don't know how you are able to wire 500 grand or lose $4.5 million on credit with a bookie. It just does not pass the smell test to me.
Let's say it's the worst case scenario. How long is this suspension?
So Roy, the commissioner has discretion under the collective bargaining agreement. It's not like steroids where it is set and already approved and agreed upon what the suspensions will be. The commissioner has full discretion, anything from a lifetime ban to 20 games to 50 games. It could be anything. Rob Manfred wants it to be zero games. He wants the story to go away. I'm not so sure it's going to happen that easily. When you look at what the level of the crime is, they've got to work with the authorities to see what Ohtani did. Was he the one betting? That, to me, is the number one question no one's answered other than the interpreter saying Ohtani never bet, baseball saying we're not investigating, but wow, that's a pretty good friend giving that amount of money to cover his gambling debts.
And Ipe saying, by the way, he never bet on baseball, just other sports as well. So to David's point, hopefully Ohtani's not involved, and hopefully nobody was betting on baseball, but we'll see.
Does a non-Shohei Ohtani caliber player get treated differently in this case?
I'm afraid so. And that's the tough part. And my view is that when it comes to gambling, you should treat everyone the same because it's the third rail issue in sports, way worse than steroids. Gambling is the number one issue right now. But superstars are treated differently. Now, the criminal justice system doesn't care. But so Rob Manfred may have his hands tied at the end of the day. But for now, they can do the Heisman on this and they can delay and say it's being investigated. We're going to look at it. We'll be back to you. But of course, Ohtani's the number one superstar. And the story broke while all eyes were on Ohtani and the Dodgers in Korea. Not a coincidence. So it's the perfect storm of terribleness for Major League Baseball right
now. Yeah, the Dodgers wish all the talk right now is what the hell is wrong with Yamamoto today? One inning, five runs. They gave him $325 million, 43 pitches to get three outs. It was a disaster. That's the least of their concerns. That's what they wish everyone was talking about today.
Can you guys explain to me how that interview got done? I was sort of reeling all over the room this morning, thinking that the reporting on a story had caught a billion-dollar economy off guard, that they didn't know how to react to it correctly and immediately made it worse. Please explain to me what happened there, because I'm sort of more stunned by the fact that that interview exists than I am by this entire story.
There is not a lot of communication once you sign a player with the player's agent, unless there are issues. Mostly you just go to the player. And in this case, it was what they're calling Otani's spokesperson. And you don't have to play the irresponsible journalism from Poppy, but whoever his spokesman is, there's people who believe it could be his agent, Nez. Who knows who it is? But his spokesman
time
is the
to
one
away,
who...
Dog, you're not
no.
Time to play irresponsible journalism.
Here is something we like to call reckless speculation.
You're good.
All right, you're good.
Thank you. The spokesman had the interpreter give an interview to ESPN because questions were being asked and the LA Times was about to run a story. So you give the interview to ESPN, but then listening into the interview, he implicates Otani. All of a sudden, the interview gets disavowed like they're in Mission Impossible.
It's disavowed. There was a disavowal. That happened. You're talking about depositions, oaths, and come on, what are we doing?
This is a crime. What are we doing? It's illegal gambling.
I didn't write disavowed.
Disavowed.
That's a good one. Add it to the board.
Yeah, write it down.
That only usually happens to Ethan Hunt.
Tony, can you explain to me where you are with this now?
We're still in gather data.
Every investigation.
Okay, Tony, go sit in the penalty box.
I love that Tony's playing the role of Mark Fanner Iwata. Like, we had like investigative journalists when it came to Balco and Victor Conti. Tony is the one that's taking care of business.
I've been the most on point here. Gutawito from the last segment was right online with
this.
Have you
ever solved a single crime that we've ever asked you?
I can't wait for Tony's version of Game of Shadows. He's going to write the book that's going to blow this thing up.
Thank you.
The true detective.
Tony, you need a bigger board this situation.
I know. I was telling the people back here I would have way more on the web if I had more space. I'm, you know, it's tough to write in a small board.
Can we get him a bigger board?
Never let your investigation get hurt by the size of your board.
Thank you. Do I still have to leave?
Yeah.
Massive theft.
Yes. Not only do you still have to leave, go to your board in the penalty box area. And please, Chris, cut up for me what I believe to be the most stumbling response in the history of our show. Him trying to say the word data.
We're still in gathering gathering.
He got stuck. He got his shirt stuck on the door of data gathering, and he couldn't do anything else. And his conspiracy theory unspooled. Adnan, walk me through the conflicts. You, Major League Baseball Network, now have to. Yeah, it feels to me like the reporting around some of this. Can we stop with the nonsense? More normalized gambling because sports have allowed the gambling dollars in. Right. It's more acceptable, and they don't know how to make the rules as this goes along, because there is a future date where, Otani was betting football games for $4 million. Of course he was. He just signed a $700 million contract and bought Joe Kelly's wife a Porsche so he can have the uniform number.
Right. There's a part of it, Dan, which is just ridiculous. As you said, we've let all the gamblers in now. Before, as David said, it was a third rail, couldn't do it. Now, it's still not allowed in baseball. And all of us, since I'm an employee of Major League Baseball, I do have to take, you know, training every year. It's like a 30-minute thing, a questionnaire test. Here's where you know gambling's illegal. You can't bet on baseball, et cetera. And at the same time, you know, at MLB Network, we had a show called Better's Eye, you know what I mean, which is encouraging people to gamble on the sport. So there's this, as you said, odd conflict in that, well, I can't gamble as an employee of Major League Baseball, but if you'd like to gamble, hey, here's what's looking good tonight, and you know, here's what I'm picking, and blah, blah, blah. So it's, as you said, it shouldn't be that surprising that these situations are arising, because when you let everybody in and you're saying gambling is okay, clearly you can't just pick and choose. And again, hopefully Otani himself wasn't gambling. Hopefully himself wasn't gambling in baseball. The fact that 40 states allow gambling, California does not, which is why he'd even still be using a bookie. That's odd to me as well. There's a lot to it that just doesn't make sense as Tony continues to get a larger board here.
Thank you, gentlemen. We'll be back talking movies with these guys in a second, unless we've got bonus baseball content. Everyone here seems to love a scandal. The energy in this building's different today.
Padres 15 runs, Dan. They look great today. Machado went deep. I love it.
That's all baseball.
I'm way more
needed.
Focused on the 30-minute test you took, Virk. What a bunch of eyewash.
Machado went deep when he was rounding 30 to a little cash sign with his hand. Something or nothing.
Good call, Billy. I like
something or nothing.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Don Lebatard.
Hey, Dave.
Stugatz.
What up?
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
David, because of your unique relationship with Ichiro, I don't know how much of him you know, but he was hard to know because there's a translation cultural gap here. There is a sometimes Ichiro could be hidden, and he was very careful about everything that he did. He was followed by 30, 40, 50 journalists everywhere he went all the time, always representing in public. The idea that the greatest manifestation of what Ichiro built in this country, a superstar Babe Ruth with a billion-dollar economy around him and media on him at all times, the idea that there would be a sloppy interview sent out on behalf of his contingent into the protection of that economy, of that dude, I find it so sloppy as to find it unfathomable. Have I aged out on how this sport is covered that Ohtani isn't covered the way Ichiro was, with 100 people following him everywhere?
Oh, Ohtani is covered that way. However, we talk all the time about how generations are different here in the U.S. Generations are also different in Japan. While their level of respect is, Ohtani has great respect for Ichiro, but that doesn't mean that they're best friends just because they're both Japanese players who happen to play in Major League Baseball. That's like saying that two superstars in the NBA are automatically best friends. It's not the case. The way Ichiro was meticulous with his image, with his actions, it was all based on routine. It was all based on him understanding what mattered to him, and that was baseball. There's no doubt that Ohtani has different things going on in his life. Obviously, baseball is quite important, but look what he did with his personal life, where he unveiled his wife. Ichiro would not do something like that because it wouldn't occur to him. He's way more private, way more controlling of his image. And this is a shot to Ohtani, the likes of which you don't see often happen to a superstar. Maybe A-Rod can be of assistance because when you're at that level and then you're floored. Tiger Woods is another example. But those are scandals that to me, and forgive me if you disagree, I don't view those scandals as third rail scandals the way I view gambling. When it comes to steroids or adultery or Ambien, I view them differently than I view gambling. So I think this is uncharted territory in any of the sports we've looked at because of the caliber of player that Ohtani is and the scope.
And to talk further to David's point about Ohtani the way he is, I covered the BBWAA dinner in New York this past January. So Baseball Writers Association Awards dinner. It's where all the athletes come. They accept their awards. So, you know, Gerrit Cole's there mingling with people, et cetera. Like it's really welcoming and everyone's friendly and everyone there is obviously to get awards. Everyone's in a great mood. Ohtani comes in like last minute. You know, no one knows where he is. It's like, you know, Bruce Wayne showing up. He's going to show up late. He's going to leave early. Like there's preferential treatment around Ohtani at all times. And because to David's point, the media scrutiny is so excessive. It's like it's almost understood that way. Like, hey, Shohei gets special rules because of this contingent around him at all times. When he went up to accept his award as the MVP, I was stunned. First thing I'd ever seen this happen, Shohei Ohtani speaking English. I couldn't believe it. Ipe was there, but didn't speak. Ohtani spoke English for about 45 seconds. And I remember thinking, I should pull up my phone and record this. This is history. Here we go. Ohtani speaking English for the first time ever. He came over afterwards. He was going to leave. Lauren Shahadi, who's lovely, asked, hey, two questions. Okay. Two quick questions. But to me, it was a little bit of a glimpse into his life and just how unusual it is, how, to David's point, every single facet of his life is focused upon and determined. The fact he got married and nobody knew about this, like, it's not even that he keeps his private life private. It's that you're not even allowed to ask him his private life. Like, everyone just, hey, it's the Ohtani rules. We accept whatever we can get. You know, with another athlete, you'd say, hang on a second. We're MLB Network. We want 5 minutes. With Ohtani, you go, fine. Two questions, whatever it takes. No problem. He spoke English for 30 seconds. We're thrilled. So he's been given such latitude by everybody involved in the sport. It's going to be really curious now when people want to go at him and really kind of get their money's worth.
You can't give latitude when it comes to gambling. You simply can't. There can't be Ohtani rules, and that's something MLB has to fight about. But you have to also look at the money involved here. MLB just made a lot of money by going to Korea. Ohtani was a central figure. Their imprint in Asia is increased by the presence of Ohtani. Having him on the Dodgers is critical. The Dodgers are making money off Ohtani in Asia. They're making money off him in the U.S. with their increased ticket prices. This is the last thing the Dodgers want. They want to get rid of this too. So there's a lot of factors that would indicate that this can go away. But on the other hand, you're dealing with his agent, who's not very professional. You're dealing with gambling, and you're dealing with the government and investigations. And that's why I think the story will have legs.
I'm not sure whose background was weirder, the LA Times columnist in a bunker or David Sampson on this weird little couch that is not shaped like a baseball mitt, I should add.
So I'm giving a lecture at State College. I'm at Penn State right now, and I'm doing a sports business lecture this afternoon. So I'm doing my shows from a hotel in State College, Pennsylvania.
Does the couch have to match the school colors? Like, what's going on with that?
I don't even want to talk about the room I'm in, but I'm here for the students, so I'm happy to do it.
Because I thought, to be honest, guys, I'm glad Justin Toy brought up. I thought David was about to go on tour here. I saw something about a nothing personal tour. What, can we get some details on that?
Adnan, your agent called because you wanted in on the tour. What are you talking about? Stop pretending that you didn't know about the tour that starts April 2nd in Philadelphia. We're getting calls from DraftKings, from agents, from people who want to appear. Adnan, we're trying to sell tickets and bring people in.
Well, and to be clear, I brought you in, right? With the Academy Awards, we did the Oscar show together, me, you, and Ben Lyons. We had robust numbers. I would only imagine now I'll be extended this courtesy. I'm an hour, 45 minutes from Philadelphia. Look at, I'll type in 990 Filbert Street right now, my Google Maps. I can be there in 2 hours.
Do you guys realize that if you toured, you'd sell out right now? If the two of you if the two of you promised to tour where you would talk
right now,
for 90 minutes, that we'd sell out everything before the end of today's broadcast if you two agreed to do that.
Adnan, your agent wanted too much money. So I turned it down immediately. You were acting like Ben Lyons during this negotiation. It was outrageous.
Another Ben Lyons outrageous contract to man. This is outrageous.
Tony, how do you feel about everything that happened with you last segment? Because I don't think I've...
I'm trying to do good reporting here, Dan. Right. That's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do good reporting. I'm trying to write down on my web, on my whiteboard.
Let's relive what you were trying to say. Tone, stop
defending it before we've played it back. You were trying to say data gathering.
We're still in gather. What is gather?
We're data gathering.
We are done gathering data for now on Ohtani. Let's segue seamlessly into the movies. We've got 3.5 minutes left. What are we doing today with the movies?
I came up with this idea, Dan, because I love Samson's passion with regards to Jazz Chisholm. And I loved even more Jazz firing back at David on Twitter. So top five Jazz movies of all time. That's right. Jazz in film. Let's do it, Samson.
It is hard for me to imagine the way that story blew up from yesterday's show where I said the clubhouse would not be jolly. And so Jazz tweeted that it was jolly. What's he going to tweet that he got? Whatever. Top five Jazz movies. Way to go, Dan.
The Big Dogs producer was not understanding why we give you a platform to insult Jazz or anybody.
I don't know that I was insulting Jazz. I was actually just trying to tell people the truth because of my experience with Miguel Rojas and my experience with people in the Barlins clubhouse right now. I'm not a reporter. I just have friends who are in the clubhouse. So I know the truth about what goes on in that clubhouse. And the fact that people don't want to hear it or they want to make it a race issue, it's not a race issue at all. It's just talking about people and how they act in the clubhouse. That's all I was doing.
You said Conine and Lowell would have kicked his ass.
And yes, that is correct.
By the way, I'm working with Mike Lowell opening day, March 3rd. I'm going to ask him point blank, Mike, David Sampson says you would have kicked his ass. I want an answer. I'll report back to you guys.
I'll bet you a dollar, Adnan. Top five jazz movies.
Number five.
I'm ready.
Number five. 2 minutes left. We got to bang through these.
Number five, Whiplash. Number four, Bird. Forrest Whitaker, Charlie Parker. Watch it. Number three, The Cotton Club. Richard Gere, Gregory Hines. Number two, La La Land. I love you, Emma. You're Streep. And number one, Jeff Bridges, Beau Bridges, Michelle Pfeiffer, The Fabulous Baker Boys.
Cotton Club, overrated, not one of Coppola's best. Love the shout-out to Bird, though. Forrest Whitaker, Clint Eastwood, of course, huge jazz guy. Charlie Parker, all-time classic. And I'll mention, with regards to Fabulous Baker Boys, Roger Ebert's review. There's a scene in the Fabulous Baker Boys when Michelle Pfeiffer, wearing a slinky red dress, uncurls on top of a piano while singing Making Whoopee. The rest of the movie is also worth the price of admission. One of the most famous blurbs ever to a movie. Number five, Sweet and Lowdown. Sean Penn playing a jazz guitarist, Woody Allen. Film number four, Born to be Blue. Ethan Hawke is amazing in that film, playing Chet Baker. Number three, La La Land. And the winner is La La Land. Number two, Spike Lee, Denzel Washington, Mo Better Blues. I didn't see the title yet. Number one is Whiplash, J.K. Simmons.
So you didn't go with Soul, but I'm very happy that you didn't go with the jazz singer.
I love Neil Diamond.
Al Jolson not getting a shout out. Mo Better Blues, Roy. Classic Denzel.
Cinephile is where you find Adnan Virk. Nothing Personal is where you find David Sampson. Thank you, gentlemen. A bona fide sports baseball scandal has brought everyone in this room.
I'm telling you, earlier, people are going crazy around here.
I can't believe what's happening around here. This became a newsroom. Get Adnan, get Sampson. They have opinions. We talked to another. We woke up a poor LA Times journalist in a cave of books somewhere, and he said, something is happening here, and we're like, you're goddamn right there is.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds I'm gonna go out there, I'm gonna crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces. Fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Texting privacy policy and terms and conditions posted at textplan.us. Texting and rules for occurring automated text marketing messages. Message and data rates may apply. Reply stop to opt out. Individual results may vary. Consult a doctor prior to use.
You've lost so much weight. How'd you do it?
I got medical treatment for weight loss through Zelty and lost 50 pounds. I struggled for the longest time, but Zelty makes it easy and affordable to get weight loss treatment 100% online. Zelty providers can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications clinically shown to help people lose weight, like Wegovy, Zepbound, and others.
I've heard those medications can help you lose weight, but aren't they expensive?
Zelty can help get the medication covered by insurance, so it's as little as $0 a month.
What if you don't have insurance?
No problem. Zelty may be able to help you get other GLP-1 medications for 80 to 90% off the price of name brand medications.
I'm ready to start losing weight. How do I get started with Zelty?
Just text.
Text LOSE to 200-300 to get started today with Zelty and see if weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound are right for you. Don't wait. Text now for a link to your exclusive offer. Text LOSE to 200-300. That's LOSE to 200-300. LOSE to 200-300.